On this InspiredInsider.com interview, we talk with John Cobbs. He's CEO, co-founder of Apartmentless. He's going to talk to us about how he got unbelievable list of advisors, which is key to the success of a company. He also talks about one of the pitches that he did and what him and his co-founder did that will actually just completely surprise you and blow you out of the water. But it works. That and much more coming up now. Jeremy Weiss here. We're here with John Cobbs. He's CEO and co-founder of Apartmentless. Hey, John. To tell you a little bit about John and Apartmentless. Apartmentless is the world's fastest growing apartment search engine, and it brings millions of listings from around the web into one elegant interface. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It is elegant, actually. Drastically reducing the time it takes renters to find an apartment. Just some interesting facts about Apartmentless. They have 46 full-time employees, 24 Ruby on Rails engineers. They have 500,000 listings nationwide from hundreds of data sources. In 2012, they reached $10 million in revenue, which is unbelievable, and this year are projected for $20 million. And what's even more unbelievable, which John will talk about, is the list of advisors that they have. Scott Ingram founded Rent.com, which sold for $450 million. Simon Rothman founded eBay Motors. Lee Linden founded the mobile app Karma and sold it to Facebook. Brad Stroh founded Bills.com. And I always like to include one fun fact about a guest. And with John, one of his favorite 80s television shows is Knight Rider. Is that right, John?
Yeah, way to embarrass me, jeez.
I gave you a heads up.
Anytime I see a David Hasselhoff, I've got to stop what I'm doing and watch.
Nice. No, we get lots of comments, John, where people have tons of ideas, they don't know where to start, or they've started something and they're not getting the traction they want. And one of the big keys is obviously finding someone who's already done it and finding a great mentor. And you've definitely done this. So I'm looking forward to you talking about how we can get mentors and advisors that launch us to the next level. Before we go into some of the successes you had with it, what's a big mistake you made early on when reaching out to a potential advisor that we should learn from?
Sure. You know, made a lot of mistakes along the way. One of the funnier ones, you know, you don't want to go out to folks before you're ready. And so if you're not polished, if you haven't rehearsed for 100 hours, you shouldn't be in front of anybody that you care about, because their first impression of you is going to be their impression of you 5 years later in most cases. And so we were great at networking, but we were horrible at our pitch. We did not have our story down. And, you know, one of the early meetings, we didn't have anything down. We didn't have Silicon Valley down. We were a couple of finance geeks. You know, we worked in investment banking and venture debt, private equity, and this was like a brave new world for us being in Silicon Valley. So we were fortunate to get a meeting with Benchmark, with Matt Kohler. And I remember the night before the meeting, we were so nervous. I'm like talking to my co-founder. I'm like, Chris, what are you going to wear? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I was thinking like jeans and a blazer. I'm like, no, man. You meet with Matt Kohler. You cannot wear jeans, man. And and he's like, what are you going with? I was like, I'm just going to go with some of my old finance, like, clothes. Like, I'm going to wear like some pleated pants, some pleated khakis and a blazer. We get there. We're dressed like idiots in our like finance out costumes, and Matt Kohler walks into the room with ripped jeans and a ripped t-shirt. He's like, who the hell are these? I want to get in front of the big players before you're ready for prime time.
Got it. So what you say the pitch was bad. What was bad about the pitch? Because, I mean, you've done many PowerPoints. You were, you know, in investment banking. What was bad about your pitch that you felt?
Yeah, you know, when you don't have all of your ideas kind of run through your own personal gauntlet and your own inner circle gauntlet, like, you need your friends, the smartest people you know, to play devil's advocate on you and really push back on every assumption you're making. Because VCs, potential advisors, potential investors, potential, you know, future employees, they're going to be playing devil's advocate, that's for sure. And so you really need to put yourself through that gauntlet before you step onto a stage and do it. And so I think that was the biggest thing, is we had to stress test all of our ideas, our assumptions, and our business model. And they ended up being right. You know, we ended up pivoting in a big way from our early days.
Yeah, that makes sense. Tell us, how did you get one of your first advisors?
Yeah, so you have to figure out what you're good at, and whatever that strength is what you want to show off in those early meetings. And so we were trying to raise money from some potential angel investors, and I had kind of penciled in, like, I'd love it if this one gentleman and his really good friend would join our board. And that ended up being Brad Stroh, CEO of Bills.com, and Ariel Poehler, who's just one of the most, predominant angels in Silicon Valley, just an amazing person. And so we had a meeting with those two folks, and the meeting was supposed to be talking about our business a little bit, but talking, about, is there anything that we know from our past that we could apply to Bills.com and some of the struggles they're going through. Hmm. So basically we went in and talked about our business for 5 minutes and talked about their business for 2 hours. Stole the whiteboard, wrote up everything I knew. One of those, entire lesson and just like the, all the lessons that we had taken with us in those early days was that helped us get Brad Stroh really excited, because he said, hey, these guys are willing to kind of take time out of their day when they're supposed to be pitching me to help us and some of the challenges we're facing. And I think that was the day we won Brad over, and Brad has been just instrumental to providing us great advice and success. And so is Ariel. So that was the early point where, make sure whatever it is that you know best is ready and present that to the advisors, and if they're interested, then they'll invest too, and that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, that's a great story. How did you even think to do that? I mean, I don't know if I would have even thought of that.
It was really on the fly. We basically, we had this big stupid PowerPoint presentation that we were going to walk through, and we just kind of threw that to the wolves and said, hey man, let's talk about what you guys have going on. And it was really impromptu. We kind of looked at each other, we're like, are we doing this? And, we were doing it, so ended up working out.
Nice. So what's two things you'd recommend people, right now the audience may be thinking, I need to find that mentor, that advisor. What are two things you did to bring those superstar advisors on, whether it was Scott or Simon or Lee or Brad?
Yeah, and, all of our advisors are superstars. I'd like to throw in Dennis Gross as well as a very active angel who just provides tremendous advice to the company. But, the thing is this, like, nobody wants to be the first one in the restaurant. Nobody wants to be in an empty restaurant. And so you have to build great rapport and work your way into bigger ponds. And so for us to have Brad and Ariel on the board, you never would have Scott Ingram if Brad and Ariel weren't there, because he would have said, well, these guys don't have that much going on. They don't have a ton of traction. It doesn't look like there are too many kind of hitters associated with the business. And so, that helped us get Scott on board. And, having Scott on board, and he co-invested in the round with Dennis Gross, those guys were really instrumental in helping us recruit even more advisors. And I do call it recruiting, because advisors have a finite amount of time,
right?
Finite resources. And if you want, you might be one of their 30 investments. And so they might be an advisor, but never show up and never give you any actual advice. And so there's this kind of reciprocal agreement where, like, hey, you guys are going to give advice. We're going to take your advice. We want your advice. Because a lot of entrepreneurs don't listen to the advice of their advisors. And I've fallen into that trap myself. And so, when you do ask somebody for their help, take their advice, and don't ask them if you're not going to take it. But having that, keep that kind of empty restaurant scenario in the back of your mind, because working your way up and building an advisory board over years, not months, is the proper way to do it, in my opinion. And then you have, further, you have the stability in your business to help you attract the next wave of potential advisors. And I also think it's very important to have fresh blood. Every 24 months is kind of when advisors kind of roll off the advisory board, and that's a pretty standard Silicon Valley kind of vesting schedule, straight line and amortization over 24 months. That's something that's important because new people are going to bring fresh ideas and your company is going to change dramatically every single year. And you're going to have bigger and better challenges that somebody else's skill set might be more helpful in.
No, I mean, you make a good point, which is they're busy. And so when they give you advice, you should, at least consider it or show that you're taking it very seriously. What was a time when you remember taking someone's advice that that you got that was essential or important?
Oh, I think Scott Ingram, founder of Rent.com, as you had mentioned, has given us some really valuable lessons. They're lessons not just in business, but kind of in manhood. Scott is a Texan, born and raised, big fan of the Longhorns. He tells it like it is. And having that type of kind of straight shooter in your advisory board who's not going to sugarcoat things, who's going to tell you the hard stuff that nobody else is going to actually tell you is really valuable. And most people don't have that ability to give you direct feedback when you need it most. So making sure that there is somebody on the board that does that, who actually knows what they're talking about, is incredibly valuable as an entrepreneur.
So what did he tell you that was hard to hear?
I won't tell you the specifics, but I will tell you that Scott has a way about him where he fills you full of confidence. And so I think we had scheduled an hour call with Scott. We don't do that anymore. It's always 2-hour calls with Scott because the first kind of 20 minutes was, God, I think you guys are really onto something. You're doing an amazing job. I think you guys are two of the smartest people I've ever met. Gosh, I'd love it if you'd marry my daughter. No, I'm kidding about the last part, and then it was like an hour and 40 minutes of just being berated on, just some of the mistakes we were making. And it was good. It was medicine, right?
Right.
And the medicine doesn't always taste good, but you still need it to be healthy.
I asked because it's probably the same mistake I'm making or other people are making, so I wanted to hear from a selfish perspective, not to, bring up any personal stuff, but to hear from a personal standpoint, what was something like you were doing wrong that he's like just flat out told you that you're like, you had to digest it for a second before agreeing.
Yeah, I think a lot of entrepreneurs get a little too big for their britches, and so it was, I think we needed a little humbling, and it was rough at the time, but it's fun to talk about now. So anybody that can humble you is a good person to have associated with your company, because up until that point, it's really just your parents who are the only ones that can humble you. So
right, got it. So John, I get this question a lot too: is for successful founders and entrepreneurs, people want to know kind of their day to day, like what's in your routine. What are some tools, software, systems you use in your life and business to stay productive?
Sure. Let's see. So I have 3 tabs open on my Chrome browser at all times: Gmail, my calendar, and Workflowy. Workflowy, I think, launched in the last 12 months. It's kind of like a to-do list, and I find it really helpful because I'd like to transition emails if I'm not going to respond to them right away. Or they're bigger ticket items, I put them in Workflowy, and then I address those as time arises or as I can schedule time. On the calendar side, besides just using kind of Google Calendar online, I'll use the app Sunrise on my iPhone, which I find to be very valuable. I think what they're building is really cool. I think they just raised a small round of funding, too, so excited to see that product continue to evolve and take shape. On a day-to-day, I'm in Google Analytics constantly. Spend a lot of time there. Just seeing what the traction is of our website, seeing where we can improve engagement, tracking specific metrics. A big fan of Optimizely. A friend of mine, Pete Kuman, runs that company along with Dan Sroker, and they've built a pretty amazing way to A-B test your website without having engineers involved, which is a non-technical founder is very helpful to a guy like me. So
I've talked to Dan. Dan, it's amazing, their software, yeah.
It really is, and they just raised a big round from Benchmark that was announced today, so congrats to them.
Wow. So I have one final question, but before I ask it, I want you to tell people a little bit more about apartment list and what you're working on now.
Sure. Biggest thing about apartment list is we're really attacking Craigslist and rentals vertical. and we want to disintermediate Craigslist. And, you know, for us, there's already a rental marketplace, so it's more about reimagining what that rental marketplace should look like. And we think it should be based on a foundation of trust and transparency for renters and landlords. So our strategy is to have as many listings on our map as possible, and so that we give any consumer that comes to our site the most comprehensive search experience that they can find online. And so our team of 46 is working tirelessly to bring that to consumers and provide tools for landlords as well. So, you know, we're really excited about that, and we really think that Craigslist has left the door open for apartment lists to come in and build a much better experience. And ultimately, our hope is to reinvent the entire rental marketplace.
Yeah, and then so what kind of things are you working on right now that you're excited about?
The biggest thing that I'm excited about today is we are launching our mobile app in a couple months this summer. And, you know, we think that there are some real game-changing features that renters are going to find incredibly useful. So I can't unveil those yet, but keep your follow me on Twitter, at John Cobbs, and you'll find out the day that we launch.
Nice. So everyone should check out apartmentlist.com. They do have a really sleek design, and you need to check out their Meet Our Team page, which I spent about 15 minutes, and you'll see why when you go on there. The last question I had, John, is I know you said like one of the biggest influences in your life to be a great CEO was football. And can you tell me the feeling when you scored your first touchdown?
Well, it took me a long time. So most people like score their first touchdown when they're like 6 years old. I had a little different journey. My folks wouldn't let me play until I was 17 years old. So I was already pretty old, and you know, had failed at a lot of different sports, and was bound to fail at football too. But I said, let's give it the college try, and so ended up kind of working out a lot, running a lot, and was terrible. I was terrible at football as a junior in high school. I played like JV as a junior, which is like nobody ever does. And especially in like a small town where I'm from, where like everybody plays both sides. Everybody has to play offense and defense. I was the guy that played neither. So as a senior in high school, I ended up having a rough experience. I ended up blowing out my knee in the homecoming game. So like not only was I terrible at football, but also injured on top of it. And I was going to school at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland that I'm very fond of. And ended up kind of signing up to say, hey, football is an interest of mine. And lo and behold, the football coach reached out, sent me the guide to the workout regimen for the summer. So I ended up signing up for the workouts and roll in my freshman year. So this is a long story to tell you how I scored a touchdown because it took a long time. My freshman year was terrible again. I was third string behind two freshmen. I had a huge knee brace that I wore. And finally, ended up running track, later, you know, both winter and spring seasons. And then, started my first game as a sophomore at running back for the Case Western Reserve Spartans, Division III football team. But, ended up going on to score a lot of touchdowns. And, the first one was pretty amazing. I probably could have walked in, to the right side. I was wide open because my offensive line was amazing. And instead of doing that, I was like so excited to get in the end zone. I basically jumped over my right guard and hit him in the head. And he says I gave him a concussion. So he doesn't do that against me to this day because he's about 100 pounds more than me. But that was the first touchdown, and I was fortunate to score several more after that over a couple of years.
I love it. Thanks, John. And John, I know you're a busy man, so thank you so much for joining us and telling us your stories.
Jeremy, it's been great. Pleasure to meet you, and look forward to chatting more soon.
Thanks.